Filthy Henry Case Files, The Nanosecond of Nothingness, Part 3. The Hyter sprite stopped running and turned around. In the harsh light of day, Filthy Henry had a chance to get a proper look at the creature. Geog was a little over 4 feet tall, with a greyish pallor to his skin, which could have been due to exposure to only green light for 2 decades, or his natural complexion. Fairies, Filthy Henry found, literally came in all shapes and sizes, with every colour of the rainbow thrown in for good measure. They were as inclusive a community as you could get. The sprite's ears were stubby little things on the side of a very bald head, while his facial features were broadly human in appearance. Looking at the fairy, Filthy Henry wondered how he had never encountered one of his race before. How many fairies were there walking around Ireland that the fairy detective had yet to encounter, like a parochial Amazonian explorer waiting to discover his next magical marvel?
How did you? Never mind.
Geog held up his half of the torque and waved it in the air.
Free transportation. Laters.
Purple sparks swirled around the Hyter sprite in a little whirlwind again. Then he vanished. Filthy Henry's half of the torque reacted faster this time, tugging him into pursuit of Geog. As the city of Dublin disappeared, the fairy detective looked around the strange realm he was falling through. This time, knowing that he would have a bit more time to study his surroundings, Filthy Henry wanted to take in all the details that he possibly could. It was almost as if he had been dropped into outer space. If outer space was made up of swirling purple mists and light, instead of the cold black void that it was. The waves of colours and particles spiralled all around him, like he was going down a waterslide. It was both a thrilling rush and a terrifying experience all wrapped up into one. Then, just on the edge of hearing, Filthy Henry thought he heard a sound, like a child's cry. Before he could turn in the direction of the noise, the real world appeared around him once more. The fairy detective face-planted into some grass. Getting to his feet quickly, he tried to get his bearings. Clearly the damaged torque was not able to ensure you arrived in the same orientation you departed. 10 yards ahead of him, Geog was running across the field they'd arrived in, heading towards some trees. Filthy Henry gave chase, trying to think of a spell that could be used in this situation to stop the magical game of cat and mouse. Geog jumped forward and vanished in another shower of purple sparks, without even turning back to look at his pursuer. Filthy Henry started to count in his head, to try and see if he could work out how long his torque took to kick in, once the sprite had teleported. Out of the corner of his left eye, Filthy Henry saw a cloud of purple sparks form in the air, right as a grey-skinned fist flew towards his face. It connected with his cheekbone, the force of the impact hitting him like a small car. The fairy detective turned to meet his assailant, falling to the ground as he lost his footing. Then the torque pulled him into the purple space. He spun around in the void like a rotisserie chicken.
Dagda, damn it! Filthy Henry swore into the nothingness. Teleportation battles are the worst!
Around him, the pulses of light coalesced briefly, before exploding forth in 100 fragments of colours. Again, the faint cry of a child came to his right ear, as the ride ended and Filthy Henry was ejected into the world again. He recognised the grass that was hurtling towards his face as the same field he had just left. Geog had obviously teleported behind the fairy detective in order to sucker punch him, and the torque had merely brought him along the same route. The fairy detective hit the ground, hard, and felt the wind knocked out of his lungs.
Two could play at this game, Filthy Henry said, rolling onto his back and thinking about a destination to teleport to.
Staring up at the sky, with white fluffy clouds rolling past, gave the fairy detective an idea you would only see in a stupid action movie. Gripping his torque piece, Filthy Henry pushed a mental image of where he would like to move to, and sent a spark of his own magic into the piece for good measure. Instantly the sparks appeared around him and he felt a tug as he was sucked into the purple space. This trip was different. Faster somehow. Instead of leisurely floating in a sea of nothing, Filthy Henry was zipping through the metaphysical waterslide, like a rocket going into space. He appeared at his destination in a near eye blink, and immediately felt the air whipping at his face as he plummeted back to Earth. Filthy Henry twisted around to look back at the space in the sky he had appeared at, and saw Geog materialise with a confused look on his face.
Are you crazy?
The hider sprite shouted as they fell.
You'll kill us both!
Ah, crazy's subjective,
Filthy Henry roared back.
Who's to say that society is sane and the individual is crazy? All I know is if you don't turn yourself in, we both go splat.
Geog brought forth his right hand and showed the torque piece in it.
Two can play, silly buggers,
he shouted down to Filthy Henry. As the saying goes, hindsight can slap sense into you faster than you would like to admit. Now that the vertical axis of the world had been brought into the game, Geog decided to step up his teleporting escape. What followed was a 20-minute, stomach-churning, face-punching, mind-bending, senses-confusing battle for the ages. They battled in the Irish Sea, then shifted to fight at the Giant's Causeway. As they fell from the peak of Carn Tuil, they rolled down the roof of Newgrange. Fists were thrown, kicks landed, and overall, both sides landed enough hits to make the experience a painful one to remember. Just as Filthy Henry had an idea about how to put an end to it all, Geog showed that he was 2 seconds ahead. They appeared inside the purple space at the same time, except the fairy detective's inertia had been completely cancelled out. He hung immobile inside the spatial waterslide, while Geog appeared moving at speed in a position that looked like a ninja attacking, with their best leg put forward. He smashed into Filthy Henry's right hand, kicking the torque piece out and sending it spinning off into the purple void around them.
Laters,
Geog said as he sailed past the fairy detective before disappearing. Filthy Henry grasped pointlessly at empty air and looked as the torque piece spun out of reach.
Ah, well, crap,
he said. Shelley sat up on the bed as the cell door opened in the wall and looked over at Leprechaun.
How long?
He asked, seeing the cell empty of anyone else.
Maybe 40 minutes? I'm not sure exactly. Seems like my phone stopped working when we entered the prison, even though it was fully charged before I left the apartment this morning.
The King of the Leprechauns took a deep sigh.
Yeah, we have a spell in place that stops technology from working, just in case some fairy decided to slum it and use mortal means of communication while locked up. Didn't think you'd need to know that because I didn't think I'd be dealing with a bloody jailbreak.
Shelley got up from the bed and walked over to the cell door, following the leprechaun as he started walking down the corridor. As she left the cell, two prison guards bundled into the room.
They won't find anything, she said to Leprechaun. He used the torque to escape.
The leprechaun stopped dead in his tracks and turned around, looking up at Shelley with a curious look in his face and an arched eyebrow.
The torque? How? They simply allow the wearer to enter and leave this place while being unhindered by the nullifying field. Any inmate is closed off from their magic through a powerful spell placed upon them when they arrive, and that only gets lifted when I release them back into the world above.
Shelley shrugged her shoulders. In spite of being a detective that worked magical cases, the inhabitants of the fairy world often forgot that she was, when all was said and done, still only a human. A human with the magically implanted ability to see the fairy world for sure. But that only got a person so far. If she wanted to know how a torque had been given to Filthy Henry could be used for escaping, she would have needed to actually talk with Filthy Henry on the topic.
Geog noticed the torque and sensed something about it. You did say that you had to have it specially made for Filthy Henry. Maybe whatever that customization is was something the sprite could abuse? You only had half of it anyway.
Half?
Leprechaun asked, frowning.
Yeah, it snapped in two. He teleported away with one half, and then a few seconds later, Filthy Henry was pulled out of the cell, like the teleportation magic had returned to drag him along.
The king of the leprechauns continued frowning, frowned a little deeper, then frowned some more while staring at the stone floor.
Well, that might make sense. The piece has to be together to fully work. So if it's broken in two, the magic inside would act like a tether. I knew making it for the half-breed had required too many adjustments. On the plus side, however, it might mean that Geag is only able to teleport while Filthy Henry holds his part. He isn't accessing his own magic. He's piggybacking off the fairy detectives.
Wouldn't that be dangerous for Filthy? Shelley asked, knowing that the fairy detective had a limited supply of internal magic that regularly required food. Otherwise he ran the risk of strange side effects.
Oh, just a spark, Leprechaun said. He wouldn't even notice it going. Come on, you and me need to get to topside and see if we can figure out where those pair of jackasses have gone, so I can throw them both back in the cell.
As multidimensional voids went, Filthy Henry did have to admit that this was a very pretty one to die in. Assuming he would die here, of course. If there was one thing the fairy detective was known for, it was pulling off miraculous escapes, right as the timer on the metabomb reached 1 second till kaboom. The only problem was Filthy Henry usually had some sort of idea what the plan should look like, in order to pull off such a feat. Whereas right now he was adrift in an endless purple space, watching the piece of the torque spiral away into nothingness.
That's what this is,
Filthy Henry shouted into the void, a eureka moment kicking off in his brain. Once, while working a case, Filthy Henry had theorized that when people teleported, they existed for the briefest of nanoseconds, in a place of nothingness. A realm that allowed the two points of the physical plane to touch, so that a person seemingly transported from one place to another instantly. With the torque doing all the transporting, and also being broken in two, it had delayed the amount of time spent in the nothingness. Presumably, the reason Filthy Henry had been able to follow Geag's teleportations was because one half of the torque was trying to reconnect with the other half. An elongated teleportation spell, with the side effect of more time being spent nowhere. Or rather, in the nowhere that made up the nothingness.
Well, that's an interesting fact to have figured out before I die, the fairy detective said,
twirling around in the air and watching a display of colourful lights collide and explode in a mesmerising display.
Would you stop being so morbid?
A voice said to his left. Filthy Henry turned and looked at a small blue ball of light a few inches from his head.
That's a bit early to be going mad, isn't it? I've only been in here a second, he said to the blue ball.
I mean, you could. Hold that thought,
the ball replied, before racing forward.
Come here, you!
The fairy detective drifted back and watched the blue ball fly towards a red ball of light, which was also rapidly approaching. They crashed into each other at full speed, exploding into a shower of blue and red balls that flew off in all directions.
Another interloper,
a red ball said as it floated over to Filthy Henry.
I thought we got rid of the last one.
Interloper? The fairy detective asked, not really sure what he was witnessing. Do you mean Geag?
Just a sec there,
the ball of light said, whizzing past Filthy Henry's face and dive-bombing towards a passing blue ball. Once again they crashed, exploded and created a dozen more red and blue balls. Filthy Henry squinted and looked around the nothingness in more amazement now. What he had mistaken for simple waves of light and energy that made up the realm were in fact creatures of some kind. Strange, tiny, energetic creatures, seemingly locked in a little war with each other. But each explosion gave birth to a new generation of the tiny creatures, the force causing Filthy Henry to drift slightly in a different direction in the purple space.
Yes,
a red ball of light said, whizzing past Filthy Henry.
The interloper. The other one who you were chasing through here.
He's been here before, the fairy detective asked.
Die, die, die,
the red ball roared, careening into a cluster of blue and red balls and triggering more explosions.
Ah, just a few times,
a new created blue ball said, whizzing up to Filthy Henry.
At least seven. The legend of the interloper goes back for generations uncountable. Excuse me.
Filthy Henry watched the blue ball fly straight into a cluster of red ones and ignite another purple wave of power. It seemed that even though the creature he was talking to died in the collision, the conversation was passed down to the next generation, which made the statement about generations uncountable both highly hilarious and utterly useless as a measurement of time. These fairies barely lived longer than 5 seconds before bringing down death and destruction on their fellows.
Are you going to deposit things as well?
A red ball asked.
The interloper just dropped things here, and we had to clean up, littering our home with loads of junk.
This caught the fairy detective's attention. He twirled in the air by flapping his arms, not caring how foolish the action looked, and stared directly at the pulsing red light before him. Raising his left hand, Filthy Henry drew upon his magic and channeled it into a holding spell, so that the conversation could last a bit longer than one line.
Funnock a foal, agus four vedic, he said.
A small sphere of white light closed around the red ball, the creature inside being magnified as if under a microscope. It gave Filthy Henry a chance to see better the details of the fairy. They reminded him of another famous fairy from a childhood tale. Humanoid in shape, but lacking any hair or body parts, that necessitated clothing for modesty purposes. The creature's eyes darted left and right before they started to bang on the white sphere, keeping them in place.
Let me out,
the red fairy screamed.
I've places to be, blueies to kill.
What type of fairy are you? Filthy Henry asked, peering with great interest at his captive audience.
We're Quaxi,
the fairy said, thumping the containment barrier.
And the blue ones?
The Quaxi stopped trying to break free and frowned at Filthy Henry.
I just told you, Quaxi.
Oh, the fairy detective said, feeling both stupid and confused in equal measure.
So, both colours are the one race. Then why are you fighting each other?
We've been fighting for generations. It's our way. We're born, we attack, and our offspring avenge our debts. You're doing me a grave injustice by denying me my rightful place amongst the memories of my forebears.
Filthy Henry was pleasantly surprised that there was still something in the world that could surprise him. None of the ancient tomes on the fairy folk, nor any of the conversations he had had with various fairies over the years, had ever mentioned the Quaxi. He felt like the David Attenborough of fairies, having made a great discovery. The only trick now was figuring out how to get back.
The interloper. Has he been here before? Filthy Henry asked.
Yes,
the Quaxi said as it started to kick against the barrier holding it in place.
Before the recent battles, he used our war zone to store 7 creatures.
7 creatures. 7 missing babies. The fairy detective started to look around quickly at the purple swirls of light surrounding him, trying to see if there were any mortal bodies floating there. Somehow Gia had figured out a way to linger during a teleportation spell in the nothingness, at least long enough for him to stash his victims. Filthy Henry turned back and looked at his tiny captive.
I'll let you go if you and your descendants show me where the bodies are, he said,
making sure to choose his words carefully so that the Quaxi didn't gain any advantage from the conversational exchange.
Is that all you wanted?
It said.
Gladly, follow us. We'll even drag you along on the waves.
Filthy Henry removed the sphere, and the Quaxi immediately flew upwards into a cloud of blueies, then exploded.
Filthy Henry Case Files, The Nanosecond of Nothingness, is an original story by Derek Power and Niall Milton. Narration and music by Niall Milton. Other works by Derek Power are available to buy right now on Amazon Kindle. Part 4 of this story will drop imminently. And while you're there, why not send us a like or subscribe to the podcast? Or even better, share it with one of your friends. We'd really appreciate it.